Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank God you're listening to us. Thank God you're supporting our show. Please tune in tonight. Listen to what our guys are saying, because we're presenting you solutions, solutions, solutions. Now, here's my little tidbit for the night. In my opinion, my humble opinion, there's only one venue left for us. We, the people, the white Christian people of the world, especially the white Christian people of the South, we have to absolutely, positively have to separate ourselves from this Luciferian, Bolshevik, Jewish, Satan-worshipping, drug-dealing, pedophile, thugocracy in Washington, D.C. They are not a government. They are a group of criminals. They are no better. They're actually, in my opinion, worse than the Bloods and the Crips. And they use the power of the almighty federal government to keep us suppressed and to keep us this Luciferian communist culture forcing down our throats. We have to separate. There's no other solution. We have to free ourselves from them one way or the other, because we are going to die if we don't. We'll die spiritually. We'll die culturally. We're already half dead culturally and spiritually and religiously. Half the people in this country, our people, there's our young people that profess to be Christians, say that there's more than one way to get to heaven than Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what. Now is the time for we, the people that claim to be white Christians, to stand up and exhibit with evidence if, in fact, we are Christians. If we are Christians, we are commanded by Almighty God not to fear man, not to fear the person who can take your life. We are commanded to fear the man, the entity that can take our soul. That's God Almighty. And I'm telling you flat out, if you fear these godless bastards and that are over us in the United Nations, in Washington, D.C., if you're too so afraid of them, you won't stand up as a Christian man, then I submit to you, you're not a Christian. You cannot be a weak, kneed Christian. And you cannot be that way. You can't be a weak, kneed coward and be a Christian. So you have to stand up. And you know what? Just like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall and all the and the General Nathan Bedford Forrest, just like they stood up, we have to do that. Did they lose? Yes, they did. And you know what? We might lose, but in the end, we have to do our godly, manly duty and stand up. Damn the price, damn the cost. And we have to succeed. We have to get the hell out of the union. And I'm going to turn over to my guys to tell us how we can start doing that. And with that, go back to you, Rand.
I agree with you, Eddie. Anytime that as a believer in Jesus Christ, and anytime we let fear slip in, we let faith slip out.
And, yes.
You mentioned Stonewall Jackson. You know, he said his religious beliefs enabled him to feel as comfortable on the battlefield as he did at home in his bed.
And yes, he did.
That's the attitude that more of us are going to have to take. And along those same lines, these leftists, I mean, they smell the blood in the water, man. And for lack of a better term, the mask is off. They don't care. They're not holding anything back now. They think that they can get away with anything, and I'm not so sure that they can't.
The gloves are off too, Rand.
yeah, that's right. The gloves are off too. Exactly. I agree. And just to add real quick to what Mark said, about how things could be different, especially in the South, and I'm just going to go to Alabama. You know, Alabama could easily, with the right leadership, be an independent country. We have ports, we have waterways, we have timberlands, we have farmland, natural gas. We could just, it could just be such a much better, much better place with the right leadership. But getting there, the problem is, up until now, it seems to me that for the most part, the left has won simply by name calling. And they got people like us, white men particularly, seems like, beat back so they won't speak out because they're afraid they're going to be called a bad name. And until we can get our brothers and sisters to become in the mindset of not worrying about those names, let that go, just let that shed right off us, and don't let that be a concern. Because, listen, I can interact with any of these people. The Bible refers to people that's not like us as foreigners. And from what I understand about it, you should, when it comes to foreigners, you should trade with them and be fair to them, but not bring them into your bosom. And until our people can get the mindset that we're not going to care about this name calling, and I don't care what people think, I can actually love my people, white people. I can support my people without necessarily hating another group, because you all know as well as I know that anyone, black, red, yellow, brown, can get them a big old sign and get on any street corner and say, I am proud to be whatever. But you let me or y'all or people like us get us a sign and get on a street corner, where we know what's going to happen. We're going to be demonized. We, you know, subject to lose our jobs or whatever. But in order to change anything, it's just going to have to be a lot of sacrifices made. A lot of things that may wind up having to give up. And through this process, they may have to be a give and take of some form on our part. I don't know. But the question to me is, how do we get large numbers of people to participate?
Well, you know, Rand, God, in my opinion, God has never worked through the majority. He's always worked through the minority. And I'm sorry if I interrupted you, Mark. Go ahead, fella.
Well, I was just going to say that you've got to find a way, and this is something we've talked about in the league ever since its inception. You've got to find a way to get the Southern people, which is who we're primarily concerned about in the league. We got to find a way to get the Southern people to stop drinking the U.S. Kool-Aid. You know,
yeah.
Everything, the entire system that the regime has put in place is there to reinforce the lies about what America is and how it should operate and everything that goes along with that, in order to maintain their iron grip on everybody. For example, you were talking about during the break, Eddie, you were talking about the people who got all upset with you about, having anti-Israel signs out in front of a Baptist church. If you had gone into that Baptist church, I guarantee you there's a U.S. flag in the auditorium over there in the position of honor and superiority. And I believe you would have gotten as equally a discourteous greeting if you had suggested to them, hey, let's take that U.S. flag out of here because it really doesn't belong in here. This is God's house. he's above every nation and every country and every government. There shouldn't be a special set aside for the United States flag, the flag of the U.S. government. Maybe we should take that out of here. They would have run you out of town on a rail. You would have gotten a far more congenial reception from most of them, I would be willing to bet, if you had instead suggested, hey, let's take the cross out of here. You know, that probably offends some people, and we probably ought to take that cross out of here. You've gotten less guff over that than you would asking them to take that U.S. flag out of their auditorium.
You know what?
This is a real problem.
As crazy as it sounds, that is, I've seen that actually happen. Yes, I have. That's Matt, I was going to allude to you for a minute. What was it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I've lost my train
of thought. That's fine. I'll give you permission.
Cool. Matt, would you like to chime in on some of this stuff, fella? You've been kind of quiet for a while.
Well, one group that has not been touched and we need to hound the hell out of is the Republican Party.
Amen.
I mean, these people are the progenitors of this mess in this country. They're the ones that attacked the South and created this mess. I've heard it said before that a liberal is interested in their social politics, a liberal is interested in their agenda, but a conservative is interested in their money. I want y'all to chew on that.
As soon as we come back to the break, Matt, we need you to pick up on that and take that ball and run with it. People, we'll be right back. You're listening to the League of the South guys here talk about problems and solutions, how we can get back to being a Christian nation here in the South. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio people, we're going to roll right back to Matt. And maybe Matt can expound upon what we talked about during the break about how we have worshiped that almighty God flag at football games, but we cannot have a Christian prayer at the football games. Go ahead, expand upon that, Matt, and go into what you were, and go ahead and finish expanding on what you were talking about.
Well, all these ball games have degraded into social justice issues, whether it's the beginning, the patriotic choruses, or the flag, or whatever. They don't do it for Christendom. And you'll never see that. My issue, which I addressed before the break, was we need to attack the Republican establishment as the idea that they're conservative, because they're not conservative. They've sold us out I don't know how many times. Guys like Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's so full of himself that his fat just bubbles out of his neck. The guy warbles tyranny every time he talks. People like that are not interested in the average American. They're not interested. In fact, he even married a foreigner and brought more of the problem into this country. These people are absolutely worthless. They're lazy. They're worthless. All they do is they're interested in their money. I said there's an adage about how liberals are interested in their politics, but conservatives are interested in their money. And that's the problem we're dealing with. I loved Mark's suggestion about encouraging businesses to come to the free Dixie. But the problem with the Republican Party is that they would say, we're already doing that. We've got to get these worthless people to realize that they're not doing it in the interest of their people. They're doing it for their own pockets, their own money. They're the ones that make these backroom deals and get the money under the table to try to get these companies into the South. Companies like Volkswagen, Toyota, Beretta coming down from up north to Tennessee. I could go on and on and on. But none of this has helped the average people in the South. Oh, it gives them jobs. It gives them, what, $12 an hour jobs? Great. That doesn't help anybody. Those people are just as destitute and poor as they were before that big wealthy company ever came. We need to encourage these people of the wealth class with money that it will be beneficial to them to have a stronger, healthier America, a stronger, healthier Southeast for sure. Back to you, Eddie.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys are doing really well. On my opening rant, second hour, I was saying what needs to be done, and I'm letting our guys give us the nuts and bolts of how to do it. But you're absolutely right. And, you know, one thing I would like to chime in, guys, we have to separate ourselves some kind of way from this political system we have. We've got to get rid of these congressmen, these senators. They're nothing but parasites. They're just a lot of whores that are subservient to Israel. Every stinking one of them are slaves to Israel. They have to have the Israeli money. They have, because you know what? Everybody knows if they say one word against their precious master Israel, they'll lose the next election. That's for sure. We have to get rid of them. To get my one case in point before I go back to one of my other guys is about a year and a half ago, a congressman here in Memphis, his name is David Kustoff. He's Lee Cochran's congressman. And he's about 12 miles from where I'm sitting. And he put forth this, he's a good Jew, of course, U.S. congressman. He put forth this resolution in Congress that to make it illegal for anyone, any citizen, to say a disparaging word about Israel or a Jew. It was to be a crime. He wanted to make it, you know, a law. Well, guess what, folks? It passed. I'm going to say, I don't know how many congressmen we have. I forgot. It was something like 446 to nothing. Not one dissenting voice. That is power. That is power. What if they put up there? What if they put forth? Do you think anybody had the cojones to put forth a resolution and said, we can't say anything disparaging, anything negative? That's anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-South. Hell no. But we have to get rid of those people. We have to do it one way or the other. And you know what? And I'm going to say this one more time. We need to start picketing these stinking churches. And I'm hardcore Christian, but I'm anti-church just about, because I can't think of a single church within earshot here where I am that's a Christian church. We need to start picketing them again. And next time I go back, it's going to be more than just me. And because they'll run you off. But we have to picket them. We have to hand out pamphlets. It's probably a lost cause, but we have to do something to try to educate some of the young people going to these synagogues, Satan's, that we call, you know, we call the Baptist Church, the United Methodists. They're nothing but whorehouses that are subservient to Israel. And with that, that's one thing we need to do. Back to you, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned a little while ago, Eddie, about, you know, if you stand up for any of these things that we believe in and want to try to advance to fruition, that you get demonized, that you can possibly lose your job. Well, you know, here's another solution to that problem is, and I've encouraged people to do this for a long time. I have been running my own business for 25 years. And if I'm not mistaken, Rand, I think you have your own construction company, don't you?
Yeah, for about that long, maybe a little longer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, break the chains of being someone else's W-2 employee. Find a niche that you can fill in your local economy, start your own business, and then you become a much more free man to be able to do and say what you want without fear of losing your job, because the only person that can fire you is you. And that's not going to happen. So Thomas Jefferson, one of his basic philosophies that he expressed as being a hopeful thing for the fledgling American Republic when it was established in the late 1700s was that a nation of freeholders would not be able to be tyrannized by their government. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about here. If a freeholder is somebody who has their own business, who owns their own land and has a means of producing something from it. So what the regime has done in my lifetime is turned everybody into a wage slave for a big corporation. And so your economic prosperity is directly tied to how well you toe the line for your employer's politics and so forth. Well, if you're a freeholder, if you have your own business, and there are enough people in your area begin to do these kind of things, you create your own sub-economy where you can spend money, you know, serving each other. Again, local farmers, local construction company guys, local engineers, whatever the case may be, find your niche and fill it and get out of the wage slavery trap that the regime has put so many of us in. That's another positive step that you can take toward not only your own economic prosperity, but to put yourself in a position to once again be able to be a free man to who can express his own opinions and ideas without fear of retribution.
And you know, Mark, this, I was just sitting here thinking as you talk, you know, this whole COVID mandate thing might even help us in that regard as far as getting doctors and, you know, just different life to join us in that mindset, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading several articles over the last week or two of all these doctors and nurses that are being fired from their jobs because they won't take this genetic altering experimental drug that they want to inject everybody with. Well, okay, why don't a few of those doctors and nurses pool their resources and start their own clinic or hospital somewhere?
You know, absolutely.
There's the answer to that problem. You know, you don't have to work. You don't have to work at UAB Hospital in Birmingham, you know, or wherever you happen to be, you know, for your publicly run or state run hospital. Start your own. You know, there is the ticket to opening the door to getting out from under this kind of economic and political tyranny that we're dealing with right now. As long as your economic viability is subject to the whim of your employer, then you are a slave, basically. You know, that's what it amounts to. So here again, you know, not to belabor the point too much, but there's another solution. You just have to be brave enough to go try it. You know, and bravery is, this is something we talked about yesterday too. So I want to interject this here too. Bravery is something that we have got to redevelop in the Southern people. You know, where is the, as we used to say, as I've heard many people say at league events, where is the courage that marched with Lee and charged with Jackson?
Mm-hmm. My God, that's a great, that's a great way to end this segment. People, we're going to get ready to take our middle break. We're going to the third segment. We'll be right in just a second. Be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is facing pressure from Republicans to act as he confronts the first major crisis under his leadership, the worsening supply chain crunch. Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton spoke with Fox's Jesse Waters.
You're probably not going to be able to get everything you want for Christmas. Well, I mean, who's going to save Christmas for Americans? Pete Buttigieg? I mean, please. Pete Buttigieg couldn't organize a one-car funeral. He's not going to organize our nation's ports and railroads and highways and airports.
Buttigieg is facing increased scrutiny about how to handle delays and backlogs caused by the country's frayed supply chains as the holiday season fast approaches. President Joe Biden admitted during a Friday speech in Hartford, Connecticut, that a $3.5 trillion price tag on his hallmark Build Back Better budget reconciliation bill will be unable to pass the Senate. This is USA Radio News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-885-0303. That's 1-885-0303. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-885-0303.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. Atlas V takes flight, sending Lucy to uncover the fossils of our solar system.
An ambitious project aiming to learn more about the birth and development of the solar system has launched from Florida ahead of a 12-year mission to reach asteroids near Jupiter. During a portion of an interview with ABC News aired on Friday's broadcast of Good Morning America, Jim Monkmeyer, the president of transportation for DHL Supply Chain.
I think domestically, because the truck driving, because the truck driving shortage is such an issue, we're going to see issues all the way through 2022.
On Friday's broadcast of NBC's Deadline White House, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg had a rosier picture.
The president's leadership bringing back our economy, long way to go, but look at the numbers right now. Record-breaking goods coming into this country. Retail sales.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, if we have a caller on the line, I've been told, I think it's my good buddy Jim from Ferguscum, Missouri. How you doing, Jim?
Well, I'm probably doing better than I've got any right to expect to be doing, Eddie. But, you know, I listen to your show, and it's just a breath of fresh air. I hear things being said I won't hear anywhere else. One of the best ones I ever heard was you saying, we're not going to vote our way out of this. You remember that?
Certainly do. I appreciate that comment. Really do. That floats my boat.
Yeah. Well, you know who Saul Alinsky is. There's a quote from Saul Alinsky. He said, you know, when they have the guns, we will rule by the ballot. Well, that happened last November 3rd, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yep. You're right.
And
it's been happening for a long time, as a matter of fact.
After the Goal American Oppression Purveyors, GOP, failed to make any headway in the midterms, which is what I'm predicting, because, you know, communist regimes, they have this annoying habit. They don't like to allow themselves to be voted out of power. That's been the pattern, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Hasn't that been they say those who cannot remember history will be condemned to repeat it. And
yes.
I'm sorry, but I think we're going to, we had the dress rehearsal for what's going on here now. in the Soviet Revolution, in my town, we had the dress rehearsal for what went on in our streets over most of 2020, in 2014, 2015. Okay? And what's going to happen when the velvet glove comes off the mailed fist, when no progress is made by the goal American oppression purveyors, which are a bunch of dominionist huckabites, if you know those. Do you know those terms? You know what a dominionist is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
When they fail utterly, that's when the velvet glove is going to come off the mailed fist, and then you're going to see what was dress rehearsed during Katrina in one particular neighborhood, when deuce and a half were going around and soldiers were piling out and knocking on doors demanding guns be surrendered. I was told all my life that no, American soldiers would never do that to their fellow citizens. All my life I was told that. But you know what? They looked at their bottom line, I guess, and they looked at their little pension that they had coming from being in the National Guard. Okay? It's the National Guard. It's not your state militia, folks.
They looked at their...
Yeah, right. I believe that governors have to get DOD permission to mobilize, quote, their, unquote, National Guard, don't they?
I would assume so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I was alive when Eisenhower sent troops into Little Rock, Arkansas. I remember that day just like it was yesterday, 1957. He segregated Little Rock Central High School, which was one of the finest high schools in the United States, if not the world. He segregated it at bayonet point. They had these natural guards, guys you refer to, with bayonets, pointing bayonets at white children. Okay, fast forward later to Oxenford, Mississippi. President JFK sent troops into Oxford, Mississippi, integrating the University of Mississippi at bayonet point. There was some people, if I'm not mistaken, killed down there by the National Guard. And, you know, we all know what happened in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, when George Wallace was the president there. Excuse me, was the governor of Alabama. Yes. So the United States, the president of the United States, overruled the governor. They federalized the troops. Once they federalize those troops, they don't have jack to say about it. You're talking to an old farmer, proud friggin' draftee. Anyway, back to you, Jim.
Thanks a lot, Eddie. I always appreciate your greater knowledge. You're a little bit older than I am, but I don't know where you get the energy that I don't have, but you've got it. And believe me,
well, thank you.
It's encouraging to people like me. And it uplifts us. You know, I'm going to have to get an old copper coin somewhere, and I'm going to have to get my little 12-volt die grinder and some Dremel bits out. And I'm going to have to carve out myself one of those copperhead pins.
Oh.
You know what copperhead were, right?
Oh, yes, we have one on our staff. We used to be, matter of fact, Matt the Copperhead was there in Ferguscum when our dark-skinned brethren were burning it to the ground. He was there, but when I was a co-host of Political Cesspool, we had boots on the ground there reporting directly from there. Yeah, Matt the Copperhead, he's no longer with us. I don't know, he just lost interest in it for several reasons. I don't know why, but I wish he'd come back with us. But, he's from New York, and he – his nickname, he nicknamed himself as the Copperhead. Yeah. Yes. I know exactly what he's talking about.
There used to be Northern sympathizers with the Confederacy and with secession. They used to carve out a Liberty head penny. Everything but some of the stuff around the edges and the Liberty head, and put it on a pin and wear it as a little sign so that people could recognize each other for their, and that was their sign, was a Liberty head penny that was carved out like that. And you could make that out of any true copper coin or even a slug of copper and start wearing it, you know? And you guys, you need the copperheads from all over the country and all over the world to get behind you. And there's plenty of us out here. We're not organized. We're not talking to one another, except we call in here, and I hope more do. You've had plenty on your show as guests, and I really appreciate that too. But I'll leave you with this one thought, okay? There's something that I seldom hear mentioned. You've touched on it quite a bit in the last hour. 100% of possible victorious presidential candidates in the last two presidential elections have had one thing in common. Can anybody state that?
I think I do. I think I know what it is. I'll tell you what, I'll let Matt, you've been kind of quiet. What would you like to chime in?
Well, my guess is they've all pledged to Zionism.
Bingo.
Well, that's close, but they've all had a daughter married to a Judeo-supremacist.
Correct.
And
absolutely.
One election cycle, it could be a big coincidence. But two, I'm sorry, that's something of a more sinister nature. And I'm pledging right now, I will never, ever, I don't care who they're running against them, vote for anybody who has that element in their filial profile, because I want the whole audience to use their imagination what that son-in-law could do to a president if he said the wrong thing in the wrong place and stuck to it no matter how much the victim denied it. He could, just like flipping a switch, take down a presidency.
Oh, yeah.
It's a kosher mark.
You know, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim, there's something I wanted to touch on before my train of thought jumps the track, too, that people really need to think about. And you touched on this a minute ago about how communists don't like to be voted out of office. There's a famous saying attributed to Joseph Stalin.
Yes.
And that saying goes something like this. Those who vote determine nothing. Those who count the votes determine everything.
Yes, he said.
And I'm convinced myself that what we saw this last November was the present day personification of that axiom once uttered by Joseph Stalin.
You nailed it. He said that he wanted it. He encouraged people to vote. He didn't care who voted because he counted the votes. But that's just pretty
the right.
same thing. But
if there's anybody out there,
we'll hear the music coming. Guys, we've run out of time for this segment. Hey, Jim, thank you so much, my brother. You have made my month calling in, my brother. I know exactly who you are. Thank you so much. You made great points. People will be right back. We have to go to our last segment. This time is really flying. So hang on. Don't leave. We got another Fire and Brimstone segment. Be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
attorney Jason Ruff, general counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I can't tell you how long it's been since I've enjoyed the show like this, especially, you know, we had to do two reruns of the past month or so. I really missed being away, but I couldn't help it. But raising $2,050 for St. Jude in 2 days, that kind of helps. That was a nice salve for the pain. But, you know, Jim from Ferguscum, man, what a great guy. He sends me emails all the time. He supports our show. He's really a smart guy, and he's full of fire. But he said something that's really true. In fact, it reminds me, guys, of another solution. And I did say, and like, we don't know. We can't vote our way out of the mess we're in. We cannot vote our way into prosperity because, just like Mark said, it's Stalin. And I've read the same thing Mark said. We have a Stalinist America right here. And Jim said, the velvet hadn't been taken completely off the glove yet, but it's being pulled off. They're taking it one finger at a time, like you see these duelers. These gentlemen duelers taking their gloves off before they get ready to go march 10 paces and turn and shoot at each other. But we have to get away from this fallacy, this fairy tale idea that we can vote. Our votes are absolutely worthless. You know, they probably, in the next election, they probably won't even count them. They'll probably just throw them away. But we are not going to vote our way out of this. You know, is it going to come to a shooting war? I think so. I don't see any way out of it. But anyway, back to you, Matt. Ryan, you've been quiet for a while. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I agree. I agree about the voting. I don't know how anybody at this point could have confidence in any election other than maybe a local county election. Anybody that's got confidence in a state or especially a federal election at this point, to me, they're just delusional. They're kidding themselves.
They are kidding themselves. I hear them talking already. Wait till the next election. Oh, man, we're going to clean house. we're going to throw the bums out, man.
And another thing that was brought up with the caller, Jim, about the governors being able to mobilize the state militia or whatever without the Fed's consent, I wouldn't be surprised. But what I wanted to say about that, you know, it only takes one federal judge to overrule the whole majority of a state's opinion. In Alabama several years ago, they had a referendum to vote against same-sex marriage. And I think Alabama voted over like 80%. The people of Alabama voted like over 80% not to allow same-sex marriage in the state of Alabama. And but, you know, it only takes one fed judge to come in and overrule that, you know. I'm like y'all. I don't know exactly what the answer is. Voting certainly isn't it. Taking to the streets, hot lead, I don't know. Maybe all the above. But something I wanted to mention, and then I'll shut up. I know we're getting winding down here. Dr. Hill used to talk about a place at the table. Matt made me think of this while ago earlier when he alluded about our forefathers and our inheritance. Our people like us, white people, we carved out, our forefathers, let's just look at our country as a big table. We carved it out. And Dr. Hill used to talk about that, how we carved out this table, and now we almost have to, or he would say, have to beg for a place at that table. Well, I would say tonight, we don't even have a place at that table anymore. Even with Kamala Harris's little old child actors, what I noticed about that, I don't know if y'all saw that or not, but she's, you know, she's got these child actors and they talking about flying to space and all this kind of bull crap, you know, but there wasn't a white boy in the bunch. There was a little white girl, but they didn't have a white boy in the bunch right there. He was totally omitted from being in that whole little group of people there. So, we're up against it. But you know, I like what Eddie, what I just heard on the commercial, and during the break talking about, Gideon and the 300. And Eddie said it earlier, we don't necessarily have to have big numbers, when we got our father on our side, because he can make a lot of things happen. He can use a few to make a lot of things happen. And there's plenty of examples of that in our father's word.
Yes, it has happened over and over and over in history. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say one thing in relation to the voting issue, and I've been saying this for a long time, is that at the federal level, your vote is worthless. And the only way that your vote is going to bring about real substantive change is if there's a box on your ballot that has the word secession by it. That's the only vote you're going to be able to cast that will substantively change the situation in which we find ourselves today. If you think that you are going to be able to keep voting for these Republicans or Democrats or independents or whoever within the current U.S. system, I'm sorry, you are the worst kind of fool walking the face of the earth right now.
Absolutely. I'd like to chime in.
I'll add my two cents to that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
I'll tell you, that we heard a quote from Stalin, and I'll give you another little truth from the Soviet communist era, is that they had two parties. They had Bolsheviks and they had Mensheviks.
That's
you
right.
Don't think those communist peasants could go and place their little M or B? You can go and vote for R or D in this country.
That's
and
right. They had
the
both those parties.
Thing. So let me also tell you this. The people in Mississippi voted to keep the Confederate symbol on their flag, the Confederate battle flag on their flag. What good did that vote do them right now?
Not a bit.
Yeah. And Eddie mentioned Governor Wallace. You know, Governor Wallace said years ago there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between Republican
sure
and Democrat.
Did. He damn sure did.
Yep, he's absolutely right. Well, and even going further back than that, General Stonewall Jackson's chief of staff, the Reverend R.L. Dabney, wrote a very damning essay about quote-unquote American conservatism, and he was directing it at Republicans of his day. Is that they are merely the shadow that follows radicalism towards perdition. They never conserve anything. They always give in. They throw up a certain amount of pious resistance, but in the end, not only do they give in, but they actually adopt as part of their platform the very thing they were fighting against. And you've seen the Republicans do that over and over over the last 30, 40 years. Ronald Reagan gave us the Martin Luther King holiday.
He sure did.
You know, Richard Nixon took us off of the silver standard.
And he took
George
us to Red
Bush
China.
Gave us,
Richard
yeah,
Nixon
Bush gave
and
us
Henry
no
Kissinger.
Child left behind. And, yeah. So the list goes
Richard
on
Nixon
and on.
You're absolutely right. You know, I remember Richard Nixon took Henry Kissinger. They went to Red China, which at the time was just a group of pretty much peasant farmers, and they turned them into one of the greatest military powers in the world. And they did it on purpose. We could do another whole show on that, quoting Professor Anthony Sutton, the genius guy he was. But anyway,
yeah. I was yeah, going to say Republicans, something. they're just as big as supporters of the welfare state as the Democrats are. You know, the only debate between the two factions is to what degree are we going to pursue the policies that we mutually agree upon now. You know,
I think you termed them respectable. You termed them respectable conservatives, Mark, and that's a great tag for those clowns.
Yeah,
and a good example of what Mark just alluded to is Mitch McConnell just making the deal about raising the debt ceiling. You know,
yep.
And then he turns around and says, "We're not going to do it again." Bullcrap. You know,
yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said when they had this debate 10 times ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they say every time, ain't?
Yeah, you know when Bill Clinton was president.
They make this big show about we got to save the world, we got to have these meetings, we got to compromise, we got to come together, raise the debt ceiling. So we're not $7 trillion, I think, dollars in debt now. We're going to be 14, but Biden's got this big plan about all this crap he's going to do, but it ain't going to cost nothing. Ain't going to cost nothing.
Yeah, well, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona I want to sell you if you believe that. Isn't that the truth?
And y'all probably heard, the fella, his name escapes me right now. It'll come to me in a minute. The economic system we're in right now where you have where the banks can loan out money at the so-called fractional reserve system. This guy I'm trying to think of, he said that inflation was the cruelest tax. He said that through inflation, through printing money, funny money, that the governments of the world, they can rob their people, they can steal everything they have. And he said, and not one man in 1,000 will be able to diagnose the problem. But and I point out, when you go to the store, you see inflation rising weekly. I've seen it. I mean, it's just, and it's not because the products, I know I'm preaching to the preachers, it's not because the products we're buying are increasing its value. It's because our dollars, our worthless dollars, lose value. Every time the federal government brings in another boatload of Haitians and puts them in these luxury hotels and prints up the funny money to pay for it, that decreases our dollars that much further. It surely does. Back to you, Matt. You hadn't said anything here really recently. What do you got to say about that, Matt, before we're getting ready to go out the air? But you got a couple minutes.
These banks are a large linchpin of the problem we're dealing with. That's why I opened up about the international jewelry, the international banks. True News opened up their episode with it. If you want to hear more from that True News episode, it's the October 5th episode. And we've got to keep fighting for our people and declare that whites are under constant attack and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep your heads up, folks, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, before we go, I'm going to ask you to take us out with a quick prayer. But I'd just like to say, point out to Blood River Radio, it was in Pensacola, Florida. We had the True News staff on Blood River Radio. We had them on our microphone with us. I think the reason that they don't contact the Bombardier anymore is because I gave a fiery, hot, it was lava hot speech down there. And I was talking about solutions, marching to Washington, taking the sailors up there, demanding that they be spoken, that they get their day in court. And I think that kind of might have spooked him off a little bit. But anyway, Matt, if you would, son, would you take us out in prayer tonight? We've got enough time. And if when you get through praying, if we still have time, that's cool. But go. Would you mind take us out in prayer?
Father, wash us clean as we approach your throne boldly, like you told us to do. Lord, thank you for sending your son to die for us. Lord, strengthen our resolve to always resist evil, as Romans chapter 5 or 6 says. And let us serve you the rest of our days, Father. Open our eyes toward the heavens and help us to be earthly-minded as well, and guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much, Rand. Thank you, Jay and Cameron. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. Thank you, Jim, for calling in from Ferguson. God willing, we'll be here same time, same place, the 23rd of October next Saturday. And don't be safe. Be dangerous. Because being dangerous is where all the fun is. Good night, everybody.